You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us David Lytle. David's got a very unique story. David knows grief well. He's lost a spouse. He's also lost a child. And David, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us and to share with our listeners today where we can learn how to be more effective in helping those who are going through difficult times and also those who are going through terrible grieving processes right now. I think they'll benefit from hearing your story today. So thank you for coming in and being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
So David, right now you're in a school, you're a teacher, you were doing mission work before that. And why don't we kind of start your story by explaining to our listeners what you were doing when kind of this part of the story begins?
Okay, yes, I am a teacher. This is my, I think it's my 10th or 11th year as a teacher. So I went to Welch, and after graduating from there and doing some other, studies at Middle Tennessee, Bethany, my wife, and I, we decided we really felt, the need of going overseas and doing work, overseas. And as teachers, we both felt like we could use our skills, our training overseas. And so we wound up going to Indonesia with a group called Network of International Christian Schools. So they basically just place teachers in international Christian schools. They're just kind of a, broadly, evangelical Christian kinds of places, really, really good people. And we worked in Indonesia. And then after 3 years of that, we moved to Peru, mostly because I already am somewhat decent at Spanish. And we moved there to kind of have a better ministry with the people that we lived among. So we were in Peru for a year and a half, and kind of at the end of that time, Bethany started feeling just not herself, just kind of tired, more a little low energy. And when we went back to, so we were planning on going to the back to the U.S. to see family over Christmas break, after just being there for a year and a half. When we went back for Christmas break, she had gone to the doctor before in Peru, and the doctor said, "You probably have breast cancer, but since you're going to the States in a week, we'll just, they have better technology here and can help you out, And so we went back, kind of with that kind of weighing heavy on us. And it turned out she did have cancer. And from then it was just a really rapid experience of just a really rapid timeline of her declining. We were in Alabama with her mom. And it just from diagnosis to the point of her dying was only a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was just, one of the more kind of rapid moving cancers that I've ever seen, and a lot of other doctors kind of, the doctor said the same thing. That kind of left me, this was in 2015, that left me, with a situation of I had three young kids, 5, 3, and 1. We didn't have, we didn't have a home because we had kind of we had our house in Peru that we were renting and my job there. And so had to kind of leave that behind to come back and take care of the kids and to, be around family and things like that. So that all, got uprooted for me. And so obviously it's about as difficult a situation as a person can be in. I don't know exactly what to say without getting, I don't want to ruin the podcast with
with
going too deep into this, but
yeah. I think everyone listening can, if they put themselves in your shoes, what in the world? It was hitting you from every, there was the terrible loss of your wife. There was also the three kids. There was the transition. You were in Peru. Now you're in Nashville. And so it had to be overwhelming, I would suspect.
Yeah. And, we were young, so this was, Bethany was 32. So it definitely kind of took us totally off guard that this could even be a possibility. So we moved back to Nashville. I had a lot of support from our home church, which was Cross Timbers Free Will Baptist, as well as my parents and church, Cofer's Chapel, just really kind of helping the transition, as well as I'm sure other churches that I don't even remember because so much of that was a blur. I got a job, Pleasant View Christian helped me with a job, and my sister-in-law works there, so she kind of helped organize and get my kids in the preschool there at Pleasant View Christian because she's the director of the preschool. So all that kind of came together, even though it was really difficult. One of the deacons at Cross Timbers gave us a home to stay in that he was renting out, that he didn't have a renter at the time. And so he was just like, hey, stay here until you can pay rent, kind of thing, which was just extremely, extremely generous. So that's kind of how that transition went. So
you kind of got stabilized a little bit with the job. Yeah. You had a place to stay. You had a place for the kids to go. And it's a time of mourning too, but you were, you might say, getting your equilibrium or getting on your feet is what you're really saying, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just, the help of so many people through that situation. It just, I'm leaving so much out. But definitely a lot of people come into our aid, and it was definitely the church as a whole, and specific local churches that really came in big in that scenario. We moved back to Nashville with the kids and trying to raise the kids, which, it was what it was, or however that, whatever people say. I cook and I can take care of kids. That wasn't like, I think I was somewhat equipped for that. They, for the most part, were unscarred from the situation as far as physically. We did have a emergency room visit at one point in time, but
it could have been a lot worse,
though. Yeah, my boys fighting. After a while, and this was all very, very fast, but I started kind of corresponding with a friend of ours that was in Peru that my wife and I worked with. She was someone who was friends with Bethany and who knew the family, had kind of spent some time with the kids and babysat a little bit. And so we kind of corresponded, which very quickly and led to a relationship between us. And so currently, I'm married to Jackie, who's from here in Southern California where I live. And so we kind of long distance dated and got married. And, so she kind of knew that this whole, it's like, this is a package deal, gets me and all my mess as well as my three kids. So she jumped into that scenario. Still questioning her sanity for that, but she's fantastic and just, an amazing woman. We got married. So we've been married now for 6 years, and we live here in Southern California. I'm a teacher here in Riverside at a Christian school, Woodcrest Christian. This is my last day before Christmas break, so it's good times for us. We've been here This is, I said six years here in Riverside and teaching here at the school. The kids are in the school and they're thriving and having a great, doing very well.
So you're starting to really get some equilibrium now because you've got someone that knew the kids before, knew your wife, new wife, and y'all are starting to really build a life and kind of things are starting to work pretty good for you, aren't they?
Yeah. And I would say just kind of a side note in a way, the fact that Jackie, and I know this isn't, you know, people remarry and there's all sorts of situations where that happens and there's no like just one right way to do it. For me and for us, I think it was always just a benefit that Jackie knew and loved Bethany. There wasn't like the kind of jealousy. I think it would be really natural to feel a lot of jealousy in that kind of situation. And I don't, you know, Jackie's just, you know, thankfully not a very jealous person, and also just had respect for our family and for Bethany. And so I think that's made that situation very good and positive. And, you know, and so the kids hear about their mom a lot, you know, being so young, they all think of Jackie as their mom. But they also know that they have Mama Bethany who they still kind of, might not have memories of. Isaac probably does a little bit, but the other ones, being so young, but they at least have kind of an attachment to in some way. So we moved here and, Jackie and I had a baby, Theodore. Theodore was born a few years ago and Theodore was born with a heart complication. And so, you know, the pregnancy was smooth. Everything was great. You know, we thought we're going to have a baby and, you know, she was totally, you know, full term, 41 weeks. She was a little bit late. And then we go to the hospital and they do an emergency C-section and Theodore has this heart defect. And so he's immediately taken from where we are in Riverside to Children's Hospital of Los Angeles to have this emergency surgery. This was this road with Theodore, which was just kind of a up and down thing. We spent a lot of time in the hospital, got to know a lot of really great doctors and nurses. So many, I would say it was actually pretty great to be around so many nurses who were, especially the nurses who were just godly Christian people who, mm-hmm. you know, we had nurses pray over us and pray with us. At the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. So that experience, you know, was obviously difficult to be in and out of the hospital all the time. He had multiple surgeries. There were some times where we thought, hey, he's going to be fine. It looks like they could fix it. And then over time, the doctors as well as us came to the realization that it's not going to be something that they can fix. His problems were both heart and lungs. And there was just so much kind of damage to the lungs or difficulty with the lungs, I guess I should say, that he wasn't, no surgery could really help him. And so in November of 2019, we were in the hospital for the last time with him and he passed away. So from what we understand, it was just a kind of one in a million kind of thing. But obviously that was very, very difficult. It's hard to describe having been through something similar with Bethany, my experience was different than Jackie's experience, not really having been through anything like that before. And she's also the mom, who carried him for 9 months and really was there at his side for the entire time. So no doubt of extremely difficult experience of loss.
So it's like two one in a million or
something like that.
Yeah, like very, very unusual situations. However, and you've just passed really, I guess, the 2-year anniversary of all of that. Just listening to you share, it's God's, sounds like God was working back there at Cross Timbers and Cofers and Pleasant View. God was working, bringing Jackie into the situation. And then God was working with the doctors and especially the nurses in Los Angeles. You're able to pick that up in this kind of dark story. Just pretty good.
Yeah. And here, you know, we just have a really great community that the school, you know, my Christian school here just was fabulous. Our church, here in Riverside. A lot of God's people really, you know, again, kind of showed up big in that situation. As a teacher, I currently have around 100 students a year, in my classes. And so the odds are, you know, I always have students that have lost parents, or students that have lost siblings. This year, one of my students lost his brother, in a car accident. That's happened more than once. I don't know what, you know, I try, I don't know how good of a ministry I have to those kids. 'Cause it's just so difficult, especially being so young to process all of that. You know, I have high schoolers, but I hope that my presence is comforting in that way and can point them to Christ in the midst of their pain. That's definitely what I try to do.
Well, I'm sure that happens. And I'm sure many people that are listening today are thinking, you know, how in the world have you been able to get through this? And really it's the Lord and his people is really what you're sharing with us.
Yeah.
And I suspect you really don't have to say a whole lot. It's just people knowing here's a person who lost his wife, he's lost a child, and yet he's not bitter. He's not out there, you know, cursing God. You can see the hand of God on his life in immeasurable ways. And I suspect that's probably helpful enough to all those people that listen and hear and experience being with you, I suspect.
I hope so. And I think, and we'll talk about this probably later on, Eddie, but the, you know, there's something to be said for presence, you know, someone's presence there rather than just like the words they say, which is honestly a hard thing for me because I talk a lot, but you know, part of my job is to teach and communicate. So I always think I can say what needs to be said, but that's not necessarily the case. All the time. It's not about just what it needs to be said. It's about, you know, being there, which goes a long way.
There you go. Well, I just thank you for sharing your story with us today, sharing what has happened. I want to encourage our listeners to, this is really part one, so check out our next podcast where we'll talk about some of the steps, some of the actions, some of the things that help Dave get through this situation. And I think it's the kind of information that can help all of us when we're wondering, how do I help someone that's been through this unusual situation like David has? What do I do? And I think we'll also see some help for those that are going through something like what you've just been through right now. So, hey, thank you for sharing this with us today. David, we'll bring you back again real shortly and talk about some of the how-to steps. I think that'll be in your teacher wheelhouse. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. We encourage you, if I suspect you'll know people that could benefit from this podcast and others, please take it and share it. And remember, when we work together for the cause of Jesus Christ, we truly are better together.